Yes, my people, welcome to another episode of Inside AFTV, and we're in the heart of Black History Month, and today's theme for the pod is your match day experience, and there's no better person to have than the Don himself, Mr. Robbie Lyle. You good?
Yeah, good, man.
Respect. Well, I don't know, we're going to go, actually, let me ask you first, how are you this week?
I'm good, man, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't want this wishy-washy, I'm just good, like, are you, everything blessed, had a good week, everything's been alright,
you just filmed
a new pod.
You have to give thanks every day you're alive, bro. Mm. You know what I mean? In this COVID times.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, we lost a lot of good people during this COVID time. I've lost personal, you know, my uncle died from COVID. Yeah. Right? So, you know, so every day I wake up and I'm in good health, give thanks. Mm. So, yeah, it's all good.
Good, man. That's a nice way to start. And I'm sorry to hear about your uncle, obviously. But, yeah, give thanks and you're good. That's what makes me happy. Now, like I said, today's theme is going to be about the match days. There's a lot of things I want to ask you. We kind of want to just go through your experience as a fan from the Highbury days to the Emirates days. And I want to get through all the stories that you have. Don't get us cancelled because I know there might be some stories that I've had. But let's not get cancelled. But we're going to go through some stories. And I'm going to just want to start as well by saying that when I first joined AFTV, I joined in a time where we couldn't go to matches. And I know how much that affected you because you kept saying, bro, I just want to go see a game, man. And we're just here doing watch songs are great, but it wasn't the same. No fans. And you kept saying to me as well, Rob, Cess, you've not experienced AFTV properly because you haven't gone to games, you haven't experienced it. But once things open, you will. So we've gone through a period, but like you said, we've got to give thanks. It's nice to give context as well to why we're doing this as well. So let's just start with, for you, Rob, what game do you remember from when you was young going to? Any games that kind of, give me one experience. Back in the day.
Man, you know what? Every time people ask me this question, I've been to so many football games, right? I can never single out one game.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to me. You know, like, I've seen, like, someone did an interview the other day with Julian, and he singles out 89.
He knew every...
And he knows,
every minute of that goal. Yeah. It was me that I did the show, Daily News, with him.
He went through everything. He's spoken to me many times about it, but I didn't go. Okay, I didn't go to that game.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched that on TV, so I didn't go to that game, so I didn't get that experience, right? So, but I can't, I always look at periods. So I look at the Invincible season, and I'm like, what a wonderful season that was, just going to every game, just watching Arsenal go a whole season unbeaten.
Yeah.
Was just unbelievable, you know?
There's been FA Cup wins.
There's been, you know, I went to the Champions League final. All right, didn't work out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the story behind that was brilliant. I mean, it's hard to single out
one.
I've just been to too many games, I think, man.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair enough.
But, back in the day, like, you know, I used to love going to Highbury.
Yeah.
I mean, going to Highbury, you know, coming out of Arsenal Station, walking up to Highbury, it was just such a great experience.
Yeah,
we had a great team those times. You know, that stadium was a bit different to the Emirates in that, you know, the people that you were sat next to, you'd sat next to for years. People you went to the game for years. The atmosphere in there was a lot better than what it is in the Emirates now. And we just had an amazing team to watch week in, week out. You know what I mean? So, and there was some amazing players I've seen in that stadium, like Ian Wright.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Davis, you know, Rocastle, you know, going right up to like Thierry Henry, Bergkamp. You know, I remember when I was there when Bergkamp scored, when he scored his first goal, because when he first joined Arsenal, you know, he had a tough time. You know what I mean? People were like, well, they wasted their money on this guy. And that when he scored that first goal there, it was absolutely magnificent. You know what I mean? So there's been so many great moments over the years. I really do find it difficult to single out a single one. I guess, like I said, for someone like Julian, who was at that single, probably greatest moment, which was that miracle win away at Anfield in 89, I can see why he can single that out. But for me, I can't single out one.
That's fair enough. That's
so
fair
many
enough.
Good times, man.
Yeah, I tried to cut you there and ask you, let's focus, hone in on those times of the Invincible season. You spoke about the players that you got to watch, great players. I just want to know, like, for you at that time, as it being Black History Month as well, was a lot of players there that you idolized? Was there people you like looked at and thought like, you guys, because for me, I know it was a bit later on, Thierry Henry, when I used to watch him on TV, was my, he was a superhero. I don't know if you had that same sort of...
I idolized Thierry Henry. He's my favorite player as well. I love Bergkamp.
Yeah.
But for me, Thierry Henry, it was just, it was his swagger.
Mm.
His swagger that he had.
Mm.
And when I was watching him, I was like, we got the best player in the world. That's how I felt at the time. Like, he's the best player in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel he's the best player in the world. You know, at that time, I'm going, maybe Ronaldinho. Yeah, but, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was going like... So it was just an absolute pleasure to watch him play, the swagger he had, the goals he scored. He was just... He never failed to deliver. Very rarely you went to a game and he didn't perform.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? So he was... I was like you. I idolized him.
Yeah,
you
know? I don't know how he didn't win the Ballon d'Or. I don't know how he never won that.
Before him, I idolized Ian Wright.
Yeah,
that's why, you know what? To meet these two guys in person since I've been doing AFTV has
been... You met Thierry as well?
I've met Thierry... I remember when I met Thierry Henry, I went to an event the first time I met him. I met him a few times now. But the first time I met him, I went to an event and... We was at the event and we was filming some other stuff. And the organizer of the event said, you know what? Do you want an interview with Thierry Henry? I was like, what? Of course I want an interview with Thierry Henry. What, you can line it up? He goes, yeah, he's upstairs.
Bloody hell.
He goes, I reckon I can wangle it, but you're not going to get a lot of time. Probably get like about, he goes, a couple minutes max.
That's enough.
I said, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And we went up to the room to meet Thierry Henry. Remember, he doesn't even know we're going to interview him, you know, because it's just... It's a last minute thing. And when I walked into the room, Thierry Henry turned around and said, oh, Robbie, AFTV.
No,
I like
way.
Your stuff. I nearly fell over. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Thierry Henry knows who I am. I was like, wow. And it was a similar thing when I met Ian Wright the first time as well.
Yeah, talk on it.
You know, same sort of thing. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, Robbie, I love what you do. Mm. Well done, man. But I couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is the guys that idolize, absolutely idolize. I think I probably more idolize Ian Wright because them times I was still new into well, not new, but you know, I'm more younger watching Arsenal. And he just used to epitomize for me what a black, you know, we're talking Black History
Man,
Month.
Black Caribbean Month.
He'd score goals. He'd do the Bogle dance. just a lot of things he did, right?
I get that.
Probably without even realizing. We just, you know, as black youngsters growing up in this country, we're like, yeah, Wright is one of us. He's like us. If he weren't playing football, he'd be amongst us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I loved Ian Wright, man. And just to meet some of these guys, just been exceptional, you know?
Mm.
I went to an event one time. It was Sky were doing this event and Thierry Henry was on it. And it was like this sports day type event and they had to pick all of the different celebrities at Sky had to pick partners.
Yeah.
And they partnered me with Thierry Henry and I literally spent a day with him just walking around.
How long ago was this?
This was about 5 years ago, I think.
This is massive, Robbie.
We just spent the whole day talking about Arsenal. And what I can tell you is that that guy loves Arsenal Football Club. His passion for Arsenal. Same with Ian Wright. Ian Wright is the most passionate Arsenal fan.
High in emotion, Ian Wright.
Because there's a lot of players that played for Arsenal. And they got an affinity for Arsenal, but Arsenal was their job. But Ian Wright, he's like us. If Arsenal lose, it hurts him.
He's
angry. He's vexed. If Arsenal win, he's elated. He is a proper gooner. And so is Thierry Henry. So to meet those guys was unbelievable. You know, I haven't met Dennis Bergkamp. I'd love to meet him.
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
I'd love to meet him. But meeting those guys. And meeting somebody, you know, I've met Lauren. That was another nice guy to meet. You know what I mean? When you meet some of these invincible players, man.
They're superheroes.
Yeah.
I just say to these guys,
you realize
what you
Kanu, when I met Kanu.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, do you realize what you guys did for me growing up, man? Oh,
I understand. And anyone that has a contact for Bergkamp, let's bring him over and see if he can meet Robbie.
He doesn't fly now, does he?
No, yeah. He's way too scared if he doesn't get in planes. All right, well, fine. We'll get him here by boat somehow. But I was going to ask you, I think you kind of answered there. One of the questions was going to be, what kind of gave you the bug for going, relentlessly keep going to games? Like, what was the bug for you? Was it the players or was there the atmosphere? What kind of kept you going back?
I think it was the atmosphere. Mm. The atmosphere, when you went to the grounds, when I first started going to football, you know, and first got into Arsenal, the first thing that blew me away was the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The atmosphere, the camaraderie, you know, I was just like, wow, this is amazing, man. I love this. And at them times, I was sort of doing my music, you know, I was doing the music business.
Yeah.
And then times I was doing my music. And so it was sometimes difficult to get to every single game because I'd have shows on, you know, I'd be doing tours sometimes around Europe and around the country. So sometimes it weren't as easy as I wanted to get to games.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I got there, the thing I loved the most was, first and foremost, the atmosphere amongst the fans. You know what I mean? That camaraderie, like that.
Togetherness.
Sense of belonging and togetherness,
It was. I understand. I understand now. I want to talk about your family, and obviously, God rest their souls. I know how close you were with your father and your mother as well, but heavily with your father. Was there any resistance for you to go to games? Because around that time, and I know being a black man, having black parents, going to games, especially, it'd be different for, obviously for me at my time, but from around your time, there was a lot of hostility for, I guess, black fans at times or black people. Were they worried about you going to games?
My mum in particular, she didn't want me to go to football.
Mm.
She was like always very, very worried.
Yeah.
neither of them, my mum or my dad, they'd be like, yo, you're going to get, you know what I mean? There's racists there, they're going to beat you up.
Yeah.
Because that used to be the norm in those days. When you went to football, you know, I first started going to watch Arsenal in the 80s.
Yeah.
Arsenal wasn't too bad, you know what I mean? You didn't really get much cases of racism there. But when you, what you'd find it a lot of times is from the travelling fans, and if you went to an away game,
hey,
It was serious, you know what I mean? And as a black fan, you stood out, and not only did you stand out, you was a trophy.
Yeah.
So it'd be days there was a lot of hooliganism as well. So people would be like, yeah, I'm going to bang that black guy. It's like, that's the trophy, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, and you stood out. You stood out, I mean, you're black, innit? So
yeah, and being in Britain, you can't
hide your colours, and put your, especially when you went up to them teams up north, because they didn't have a lot of black fans. So they'd be like, he's with Arsenal. He's got to be. black fans at Burnley. Not picking on Burnley here right away. Most of those clubs, they have a lot of black fans, right?
Yeah.
It was mainly the London clubs that had
more of a
quite a lot of black fans of clubs from Birmingham, like say Birmingham City, Villa, they had black fans, but West Brom, but a lot of other clubs, even those days. And that was not because black people didn't like football, because black people didn't go football because of the amount of racism and the racist abuse that they took.
Mm.
So going to football, and I did a documentary that it was on TV, on ITV, and I spoke about it extensively. Going to football, you took your life into your hands as a black fan.
Yeah.
Because, you know that somebody's probably going to try and beat you up just because you're black, or you're going to get racist abuse. And racist abuse them times is common.
Yeah.
You go to an away game, be stood in the away end. Them times, a lot of times, they used to just separate you with like, them times were the days of when you were caged in.
Oh, wow.
Right, so you were caged in and it.
Well, not inside the ground, but is that outside as you're coming into the ground?
No, in the ground. So you'd be on the terraces, right?
Yeah.
And they'd have like, sometimes they separate it in half and it'd be like a cage. It'd be like a fence like down the middle. And then on the other side of the fence, that's where the away fans are. Sorry, that's where the home fans are. And you're there as the away fans and everyone's giving it to each other as that, you know. But you'd see them times there'd be fans, they'd be like, oi, oi, you, oi, oi.
Yeah.
And they'd point at you and you'd turn around. As soon as they catch your eye, like, you black this making monkey a monkey. That was common. Mm. They'd do that. Police would be there. They wouldn't do nothing. You walk outside, you'd be walking up to the ground. Someone just walk past you, you black, blah, 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 blah.
Bloody hell.
Nothing. That was common.
Normal, yeah.
You'd always be fighting. You'd always be in tussles with people. I can't tell you how many times I had to, you know, defend myself.
Yeah.
Defend myself, right? I can't tell you how many times in those days I had to defend myself, right? Because, you know, of that was the sort of stuff. There was a problem with hooliganism, first and foremost, but then the racism was mixed into it as well. It just made it terrible. So my parents didn't want me to go football.
Did they ever get to go with you? Did they ever go?
They never went, no.
Never.
The only time I went to one game only ever with my dad, and that was when Jamaica played at Old Trafford.
Oh, wow.
Against England.
When was that? A while ago?
Oh, that was, it was when Crouch scored. I remember when Crouch scored and was doing the robot.
Oh, did the robot.
That game, yeah. But he never ever I tried to get him to go to games. He just had it in his head that Robbie, nope, I'm not going. This is full of racists. And I was like, Dad, it's changed. It's not as bad as it, you know. Yes, there's still an element, but it's not as bad as it come. And he didn't.
Where did he get
He was affected by.
Did he go before? Did he get his mind? Where did he get that? Was it just because
you used to see it on TV all the time and used to hear about it and used to read about it and, you know, games would be played on TV and you could hear the monkey noises and they were throwing bananas on the pitch. And so it was obvious. It happened week in, week out. It was commonplace. That's why I feel a lot has changed with that in this country.
Yeah.
You know, but it was terrible. I can't, you know, I speak to a lot of fans nowadays, right? And it, because I'm amazed sometimes some grounds I go to. If I go to Chelsea, I'm amazed. I'm like, lots of, you know, it's really multicultural, black fans, Asians, lots of women there. I'm like, back in the day, man.
Nothing like
like a no-go for a black person. you're taking your life into your, you go to Chelsea away, you're taking your life into your hands because they were known. For that element. Same in West Ham. West Ham, similar thing. They had that element there. Millwall. They had that element there. So when you go to a ground like Chelsea now and you see the improvements they've made in that aspect, still got a long way to go. But in comparison to what it used to be like, you have to say, wow. Yeah, I mean, because honestly, you know,
back then it
and black people didn't support Chelsea because of that. Because of that element. There'd be a lot of black people like, Chelsea, you mad. That's why if you sometimes you speak to a lot of black people from a certain age, there's you notice there's certain teams they weren't...
They won't mess with.
When I was growing up, like in London, you'd have a lot of black people support Arsenal, Tottenham, maybe Palace, Queen's Park Rangers. Those sort of clubs, you know what I mean? Because they could go there, they you know, you felt kind of welcome there. But West Ham, Chelsea, Millwall,
I've just
life in your hands, bro.
I know, I understand
life
in your hands, and there's a lot of stories and history behind. Obviously, and I know
good,
about
it's good
it as
that
well.
Those teams. It's good that there's been a real turnaround and there's been a real change. At those places,
but it's still in some of the foundations of some. Fan culture, which is sad to say, because obviously there was videos, obviously, of Chelsea fans in the tube and getting on, they'll sing it, they'll be racist or the black club.
There's still an element there.
Listen,
there's still an element there, and a lot of that, sometimes when you see the demographic of the people that are saying that, are some of those people that were doing it back in the day.
You know? Yeah, it's not the newer generation of fans.
And do you notice that sometimes, there's a lot of times that's is when they feel that...
Things are changing.
No, it's when they feel that they're not being spotted. There's no camera on them. So they were those Chelsea fans you were talking about, they were abroad and it was in France. They didn't know they were being filmed. So they reverted back to type what they used to do in the old days. And that's if you look at a lot of the incidents there, there was another one where there was some fans singing some racist songs about Mo Salah in a pub. Again, they think to themselves, oh, we're in our little... They're still around. They're at every club. Every club.
Yeah, agree.
They disguise it different now. A lot of racists nowadays, they won't call you the N-word. They won't call you... They've got other ways of doing it, but it's still the same thing.
I want to talk to you about how when you went to games, who did you go with or did you travel by yourself? I mean, let's go from, I guess, the early days up until... Well, now, did you ever go by yourself or did you have a group of people that you regularly
with? I used to go with... There were some friends of mine that I used to go with. I used to go with my brother sometimes. My two of my younger brothers, I remember like my brother just lived around the corner from the ground. I remember when he used to live there. That was perfect because he parked a car outside his house, right? And we just used to walk from his house to the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
I was vexed when he moved, man. You know what I mean? Because I lost my parking space, everything. You know what I mean? But yeah, so go with my brothers and then just various friends I met over the years. And sometimes I went on my own. If I was going to a game and like nobody was really going, I'd go on my own.
Wow.
A lot of times I used to go to Highbury. I used to go with Coogan. He runs a channel, IFL TV.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coogan Cassius, the boxing guy.
Yeah, 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 man.
Me and him used to go Highbury together all the time, man. Yeah, jeez. Yeah, you know.
He's
a diehard gooner, man.
Did you meet a lot of your friends that you have today at football? Or is it more, do you stick with the people that you obviously grew up with that you've still got?
I've got a lot of friends at football. Like, I'd say like all the people you see me with around AFTV, I met all of them when I started doing AFTV. Before right. I had like other friends that I went to Arsenal with. Even a lot of the people that I sit with at Arsenal now are not really, they're not people who really come on AFTV. They're just people that I've sat with ever since we moved to the Emirates.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, there was no one in particular. I'd say... My brother and I'd say like Coop, my brothers, because they used to go a lot as well. And I'd say Coogan as well when we was at Highbury as well. We used to go a lot together as well.
Yeah, it's quite a good little group. I'm going to be honest, it's quite a protected group. I know about your brother. I know about Laurie. Mm. I know about obviously Coogan. You've got quite a nice, that's a nice little group to go with. How did you used to travel down? Did you just drive or did you get trained from the beginning? I know you probably got trained, surely.
Used to take train. Then used to drive a lot. I used to drive because my brother lived right by the ground. My brother lived right by the ground. That was brilliant. Then when he moved, one of his mates didn't live too far away. So I was parked by him as well. Until all of a sudden they brought in all these restrictions around the area. I got vexed with that as well. Right. So, but mixture train and driving. Yeah. But I kind of always like to sort of drive to a game. There's always a crew of us. We drive up, you know.
I was told that you're
don't have to rush away as many times.
No, I understand. I was told that you're a man that loves his sleep back in the day, Robbie. But for Arsenal games, you used to get up. I'm going to be honest, I did some digging. I spoke to some of the family members. They said, listen, Robbie used to love to sleep.
That was though? Because I was always out.
Okay. Oh, partying or
yeah,
work?
Because I was in the music business, man. Yeah, so, you know, you're out. I'm getting in stupid hours. So, got all my sleep, man.
Yeah, yeah. I spoke with Scully and he said he loves his sleep. But when it comes to Arsenal games, he would get up.
I'd get up and I'd be at the game. Yeah, trust me, I'd be there.
Yeah.
And them days was the days of the 3 o'clock kickoff.
Oh, blimey. Yeah, yeah. And
sometimes I'll be getting in like 11 o'clock.
Oh. you just having a power nap or something?
I'll be mash up, man. But you listen.
Anything for the Arsenal.
Hey, I'm giving a lot to this club, you know. I'm telling you.
I think people forget. I know. People forget. This is what I wanted you on today and just go through your match day experiences because I know you've been doing it from the beginning and just, a lot of sacrifice that you've made to get to this point as well, which we'll get to towards the end of the show. Scully, who I just mentioned there, played a family member of yours professionally at Watford. Yeah. And he said, even when Arsenal played Watford, you didn't care. You still wanted Arsenal to win.
Yeah, of course, man.
I think he's still a bit sour about that. When I spoke to him on the phone, he was like, but
Scully was an Arsenal fan as well. Scully, a massive gooner. He was a good goalkeeper, man. The only thing that stopped Scully from being, really, really making it big as a professional was his height.
Yeah, yeah, you know, fair. As a goalkeeper, yeah, you're
right. He was at Watford with David James.
Oh, blimey.
And a lot of people said he was better than David James, but David James had the height, and David James went on to do unbelievable things.
Yeah,
Scully was at Watford and Reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Arsenal, man. Sorry.
Got to support Arsenal. We heard it here. Scully, if you listen, he's still sticking with that. Now, big up Scully, though. Obviously, still works within football as well, still coaches at a high level. Big him up. I was going to quickly move on to say as well, what's kind of changed, Robbie, since you got into games then and now being with AFTV, obviously when you first started it, what's changed? Obviously, you probably met Tao. I don't know where you met Tao. He was involved from the beginning. When did the shift kind of come from like, okay, I go to games, I enjoy them, but now I want to get fans' reactions. Did anything change in your routine? Obviously, you've got a cameraman with you.
Huge, huge change because before I just used to go to a game, when it was a home game, go to a game, watch a game. After the game, maybe
debrief
go
with friends.
To the pub, yeah. Have a drink, go home.
Mm.
Go to the pub before a game, have a few drinks, walk down to the game with friends. Home and away is to do that.
Can't do that anymore.
It's very difficult to do that now when you're doing this because it's a long day. You know, it's a very, very long day, as you found out yourself.
All right, make sure you all listen to that, please.
Yeah, so it's a very, very long day and you got a lot of stuff to do. You know what I mean? You got videos to get out. You got videos to, you got to think about what you're doing. So it's been a massive change. You know what I mean? I have to get to games so much earlier than I used to go. You know, it's like chalk and cheese now. It's just the two... You know, I still enjoy, I still love going to watch games of football because once I go into the game, I just watch the game as a fan. I forget AFTV, forget all of that. I'm just watching the game. I just want my team to win, you know. But then once you come out, you're on that mode where now, right, we need to...
Hear from the fans.
Yeah, we need to hear from fans. We need to get their videos. We need to get those videos uploaded. We need, you know, you're back into that work swing afterwards, you know. So it's changed completely. I mean... I get home from games so late now because I will not leave a game or I will not leave until everything's done. Everything has to be done, completed, the videos are uploaded, everything's got to be sorted out, then I'll go home.
So that's interesting. That's interesting, Rob. So you're saying like when you go into the stadium and the game kicks off, you're just kind of, is it your safe place? Like do you switch off from, because I know you work, like I see you here, we haven't stopped today. I had to drag you for 15 minutes trying to sit you down. Like when you're at football, is it just like you just switch off? Is it like, do you take yourself back to like the old times of sitting
watching?
It's
always been like my one thing that I really, that's like my thing. I love my football. I enjoy it. So when I go into a game, once that game starts, like I'm just 100% focused on that game. Nothing else
really matters.
I'm just, you know, so... Yeah, I still enjoy watching football as much as I ever did, you know. It's just great when you're there, a live football game, the atmosphere, the skill of the players, the incidents, the turning points, you know what I mean? You can't beat it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful game. When you first started the AFTV stuff, it was innovative, it was a new idea, new model for fans. Obviously, this is still on match day. How was it received when you first started? How was it like? Were you people bigging you up saying keep at this, or they liked it? Was there?
Because
obviously it's the beginning. No one's done it. So what was it like
when you
that
first
time?
Started doing it? You know, I mean, there were some people like, "What is this?" You know, what I mean, you know, there was a few people like that, but I'd say, on the whole, you know, it was so well received.
When you first, started.
People were like, "Wow, this is a breath of fresh air." At last, getting to hear fans have their opinions on things. So. It was well received from the beginning. Really was.
Yeah. What do you prefer going to, Rob? Home games or away games in general?
It depends on the game.
Okay, yeah.
For me, I like a good away game.
Yeah, a good away trip.
A good
trip.
Away game.
Yeah.
A good
I've
away
seen some
game.
Some videos of some of your away trips.
a good away game, you can't beat it, to be honest. Like, it's always, if you go away to Old Trafford and you win, it's a brilliant away day.
Yeah.
But equally, you go away there and you get battered or something like that. It's one of the worst days of your life. So that's the thing about away games, you know what I mean? Home games, the real big home games are great.
Yeah.
And you know the other thing about games, what I find over the years is some of the games where you go there not really expecting much. You know, you might be playing, I don't know, sort of one of the lesser teams.
Yeah.
And you go in there thinking, yeah, man, light work today. And then they turn out to be really good games and you just scraped it in the last minute or so. Yeah, I mean, so that's the beauty of football. So I'd say probably you'd have to just probably edge it because if you're a good away game, go away somewhere and you win, the feeling inside you is amplified, you know what I mean? Fine. Because you've made that effort, you've traveled that distance.
Right.
To go and watch your team play and you've won, it's a great feeling.
This is why I added this one in, Robbie. I'm going to be honest with that question because I've obviously been here now. I've been going to games as well before here, but I think the difference between the home and away games, I thought I had a battle inside argument with myself about, do I prefer home or away? But going away, I do enjoy. You say you get up early, you go, you do the traveling. And I've been with Julian, I've been with Stricter, I've been with Pippa. I went to, obviously went to Burnley. We spent, made a whole day of it. The game was done. We did what we needed to do for the channel. Then we went and explored Burnley. We had a meal.
Yeah, I lovely, because you won.
Yeah.
I bet you wouldn't have been exploring nothing if you'd have lost though.
Very true.
You'd have been exploring that motorway, man, if you're coming home, I'm telling you. And that's the thing. That's the thing about away games. So it can be the best, it can be the worst. Because I believe you, me, man, sometimes when you've done some of them distances and you've lost, and then you're driving back and it's pissing down with rain, and it's it could be one of, and you get in like get stuck on the motorway traffic. It can be the worst and it can be the best.
That's what it is, and I'm looking forward to hopefully us returning to one day Champions League football. We can do the away trips.
Those are good, like going to Europe, going to all the, do you know, the thing is though, I always, in Europe, I don't like the way they treat away fans. I don't know if it's because they're, in a lot of countries, they're not used to a lot of away fans. Like if you look at games, for instance, in Spain, fans don't really travel to games. You know what I mean? You'll have like, there'll be like 50 to 100 away fans at games sometimes. You know? I mean, these countries are big as well, so sometimes the distances, but they don't really travel like
how we
the fans over here in England, and I dedicated. Think Germany, those two sets of fans, they travel home and away. They get, you know what I mean? But fans in a lot of other countries don't really travel. So I don't feel they treat the away fans when you get to the ground very well. You know what I mean? They put you high up. They put all this netting around you because they're scared that you're going to throw things and all that. So sometimes the away day experience at some of these real big clubs in Europe isn't great. Like the day itself is nice, but the actual, like you go away to Barcelona, it's terrible.
Yeah,
they put you so high up, man.
I didn't know that.
I'm telling you, you better not have vertigo. And you better not be, if you're scared of heights, mate, don't go to Barcelona, because where they put the away fans, you're so high up, you're just looking down at dots.
Well, what's that subject to the history or the culture of what we spoke about at the beginning? But maybe that, you know, they've got an idea of how away fans are.
I just don't think they're used to the amount of away fans. I don't know what it is. And as I said, there's also still problems sometimes with hooliganism and stuff like over there. So they're still very old fashioned in their approach to that.
Right.
So as I said, they'll have these, like, you'll be there and there's loads of netting in front of you, and you know, so you're having to look through almost like netting. There's a lot of grounds you go to that when you, on TV, you think, wow, what an away day. But when you get there, you're like, you go to Napoli away and they got to bus you in from the port.
Oh, bloody hell.
With police outriders and all that, just for your own safety. Or when you went to like Red Star Belgrade. Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong, the atmosphere in that stadium is unbelievable from their fans.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, you get kept in the ground like an hour and a half, nearly 2 hours after the game.
Oh, dear.
Because if you was to leave at the same time, it would kick off. And I don't think the away, with a lot of those away days, they're good, the actual whole build up to the game, and it's good to watch your team playing.
Yeah.
But where they put you in the stadium and stuff, I don't like. And I think this is where we do it so much better in the Premier League.
Mm.
The only places in the Premier League where you're really high up is Newcastle.
Mm.
But there's a kind of edict which they put down a few years ago where they said in the Premier League, they want the away fans near the atmosphere. They want that. They want the away fans to be part of the atmosphere. Yeah. So they're in the lower tier. I like that.
Mm.
I like that. Mm. You know what I mean? So you get, you know, you hear, obviously the home fans are the majority, but you hear the away fans. And you see, it all adds to the atmosphere. But some of the other grounds around Europe,
Things updating. I think that's when I asked you the question. You didn't mention anywhere abroad. You mentioned, obviously, United away. That's why I touched on going abroad, because that's interesting.
As I said, you know what I mean? It's great to go to all these great grounds around Europe.
Mm.
You know, I've been to probably most of them, right? But as I said, sometimes just for the nature of where they put you and stuff like that, it's almost like they're removing you from the atmosphere.
Right. So it needs updating. You know? Yeah. So that's not a good thing for the experience as a fan of going away. Okay. Well, that's interesting. When you said about Newcastle as well, is the only time that you're up, but now they've got new owners. You never know. They might update. You might be
It might be even higher up now.
Yeah, true. They might extend it. Yeah, they might do that. I was going to ask you as well. Is there any, specific ground that that you really enjoy going to, maybe an away one that you really like? I know there's obviously Ellen Road's one you want to travel to this season. Like I was gonna ask you that as well, following this question, is any away stadiums that you haven't been to that you'd like to go to?
Well, Ellen Road's one, I haven't been there for a long time, so I'd like to
go there,
see, you know, it's always been a ground where there's been a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
Any
specific grounds that
Tottenham's
love?
Always tasty when you go away.
When we win.
Oh God, it's not a, and we haven't won there for a while, so it's not a good place to go to. But so the derbies, the atmosphere there is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's always, United away is always an unbelievable atmosphere as well. Mm. So that's always a good game to go to.
Yeah, I want to go to that.
I like going to, I used to like going to Bournemouth.
Oh, okay.
Right, because it's such a tiny little ground and you're right near to all the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You're right near to the players.
Yeah.
I used to like going there.
Yeah, there's not a lot of seats in there. It's quite, so I can understand
it's
quite
a tiny little ground, but
it's
nice, I used to like going there. That's a good away day and it's a nice place.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Something to note down. I wouldn't have known that. Bournemouth, good one. The difference, Robbie, from then, from when he was going to games and now, has anything really changed in a sense for you, that, or is it still quite similar in a sense of just the atmosphere? I don't want to talk too much about obviously the downsides to the fandom, but is anything that's changed that's significant that you think from the beginning when I was going to now, even though I know your life's completely changed and your career in what you do has changed, is there anything that stands out to you as a fan?
I think the atmosphere was better.
Back in the day?
A lot better back in the day, yeah, right. Because I think, you know, when you had standing, you know, the prices of tickets were a lot cheaper. You know what I mean? Just, I think it all added to making a much better atmosphere.
Okay, interesting.
I think now the atmosphere is nowhere near as good as it used to be. Nowhere near.
Mm.
And I think...
What's that down? I think it's as well, to, like...
Well, I think like that. You know what I mean? You know, standing used to add to the atmosphere. So you stood up, so you...
Yeah. You're involved. You're
animated.
You're
in it, and stuff. You're amongst like-minded fans who want to jump up and sing and stuff like that. Mm. There was more singing. And I've also feel that, you know, how football's sort of changed is that back in the day, you would see supporters would just support their team right throughout the game from start to finish.
Right.
They'll moan about them afterwards, but whilst the game's on start to finish, they'd be behind their team.
Mm.
I feel that now a lot of times supporters go to games and they want the players to produce before they start. It's almost like, we'll sing and we'll do that, but you need to get us, you need to do something to get us out of our seat first. Yeah.
Oh, they wait.
Yeah, I feel that, you know, you see a lot of games where the atmosphere is good at the start, but if the team's not performing, then, you know, and it's every team, it's not just Arsenal, it's every team.
Mm.
You go to all these grounds, people say, oh, the atmosphere is unbelievable at, you know, Liverpool. It is.
Mm.
They've got a good atmosphere there. It's a great atmosphere. But even there, if they're not performing, it goes quiet. Mm. Speak to any Liverpool fan that goes every week, they will tell you that. They're not unconditional. Back in the day, fans would be unconditionally behind the team from start to finish. And as I said, they'd have a moan up at the end.
So you go down the pub
and everybody would be like, hey, crap, sell him or whatever. But whilst the game was going on, they were right behind it. And I think we've lost that. I think if you look at the teams in Europe, yeah, you still see that. You'll see, how many times have we seen teams from Europe come over and play at the Emirates and we're beating them 2-3-0 and they're still jumping up and down and their tifos and all these flares and everything. You know, we don't really do that. I think we've lost that in the British game.
That's so interesting because
we've lost that.
You've made my, that's so true. I think when I've recently been going to the Emirates,
we're winning. Everyone would be. The atmosphere would be great. But if it's going the other way, you know, the atmosphere is not as great. And as I said, it's not just. It's the same at Old Trafford. It's the same at many. You know, there'll be grounds that are better than others. But it's a problem. I feel. You know, the other day we was at Burnley. Their fans were really, really quiet until when they brought on, that guy, Corney, and he gave the place a lift. And then they started playing well and they really got into it. But it took them all that time to get into it. Burnley's a place known for a great atmosphere.
Mm.
But again, as I said, it's in comparison to those grounds abroad. I went to Red Star Belgrade These people, they're in there an hour before and they're jumping up and down and they're singing and loud. And when the game finished, they're still doing it and they lost 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, it's, so it's... the atmospheres, I feel, in those places are better. I don't know what the answer is here. It does... There's been a lot of debate about it that, you know, if you look at the teams abroad, they'll have things like they'll have drummers to drum up atmosphere. They'll have...
There's some fans,
people on
there's
microphones
some things,
and
some people that have that. Palace, I know it's at Selhurst Park.
Palace have adopted a lot of that model of Europe, and they've got the best atmosphere.
I have to agree.
Maybe, you know, I always look at it and say, maybe we need a bit, because English fans like spontaneous.
Yeah.
We want to be spontaneous. We don't want it all, because you can, I suppose, when you see some of those teams abroad, it's all led. The songs are led. Because I remember one time, I went over to Borussia Dortmund, who's known as one of the best atmospheres in world football. I stood on the yellow wall.
Yeah.
And it is orchestrated. You know what I mean? They've got a guy on the mic telling people what songs they're going to sing. They're, you know, but the atmosphere's amazing.
Yeah.
So do we go that way? Or do we have a bit of both? You know, because what I like about the English fans now is that we're spontaneous. So we just come up with we can just make up a chant.
Oh yeah, the Tommy Asi one's new, that come out.
Yeah,
a
chant can just be made up
nowhere
on the terraces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it just becomes a thing. You know what I mean? I love that as well. So if we could marry a bit of both, I think it'd be the perfect scenario.
Yeah, you're very right. I'm just thinking of back when I was young watching, I don't know, I guess Skies and just all the match days. And before they used to do like the fans arriving, and back in the day it just looked, everyone's buzzing, excited, they had the kids there. There was loads of clips of people going into the stadium. And yes, they still do that, but it's not the same. I think the only similarity is when I went to the derby, North London derby here recently at Arsenal. I went down before and everyone was singing before they got there. And you told me when I was inside, it was a different feel to that game. Like you said, they felt everyone was up for it.
Yeah, everyone was up, but it's a derby.
That's true. But that's
when you go Europe, that's like every for game. Some of them teams, that's every game.
Yeah, that's what it needs to be.
They're up for it every game. They're coming to create a great atmosphere. And it used to be like that. Remember, a lot of these things we've exported a lot of these things from English football. So the singing and great atmosphere on terraces and that, we were known for that back in the day in this country.
Yeah.
We exported hooliganism as well. And even racism, you could say, as well. A lot of the bad things we've exported, but we've also exported some of the good things.
Stuff,
but I just feel that, you know, the atmospheres, and a lot of people blame it on many things. They say, oh, well, it's the stadiums, you know. They're all seated now. You know, it's just because the players now, the amount of money. But then I went to PSG. And their atmosphere was amazing. Even you looked on the top tier and it was on fire. I mean, they were jumping up. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So it's the mindset, I feel. If people really want to... I mean, there are hindrances to it over here as well. Like, you know, you'd be at the Emirates, in certain sections in the Emirates, you stand up just to say, you know, and you're being told by stewards to sit down. Those sort of things don't help the atmosphere, you know?
100%. So that could change. Yeah, interesting. There would be a question I was going to ask you, what would you change? But we've answered that already. I want to look at the different communities and cultures, Robbie, that you've brought together through AFTV. And do you ever think about it? I'm not just talking about in general from the videos, but I mean, people here and how close you are to them. Do you ever even think about it? Or do you think like James B, obviously he's in the back there, he's a different culture to us, and you, Turkish, obviously Thai, I know you're very close with Lee. These are all different backgrounds. I don't know if you... I wouldn't say, I don't think you've done, you wouldn't tell me you did on purpose. No.
Listen, for me, it's a natural thing. Like, for instance, if I'm, somebody employs someone, for me, I just want the best person for the job. And I think that's what it should be, no matter what you do. The best person for the job. If the best person for the job is white, he's hired.
Yeah.
If he's black, he's hired. If he's gay, he's hired. If he's Jewish, he's hired. If he's Muslim, he's hired.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. That's how I operate.
That's fair. That's
best good. Person for the job.
Gets the job.
And then, like, you know, going to football games, my policy's always been everybody's free to come and have an interview. I don't care who you are. If you support, as long as you support Arsenal, I don't care if you're disabled.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're blind. I don't care if you black, white.
anything.
I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care. You know what I mean, you're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah,
that's how it should be.
Have your say, and then that's people grab it.
It's quite simple.
Yeah,
that's how we operate here.
Yeah, and people gravitate towards those the diverse characters.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, and everyone has their
favorites. A lot of people talk about it and say, "Oh, you know, they tick boxes." You don't have to tick boxes, just do it.
Do it, yeah, yeah. And if people...
It ain't hard.
We speak with everyone, we speak to every fan. If people like you, that's not down to us anyway.
I don't get in this day and age how somebody can look at someone and say, you know what? Nah, I ain't employing him and he's black.
Yeah.
He's Muslim, I'm not employing him. I don't understand how in this day and age people can still think like that.
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
No, I understand that. I know.
And
that.
It's just nice. We've got a nice mix here.
Mm.
I love it. It's brilliant.
No, you're very right in that. And I'm very happy you said that because you're a person, again, you would, from meeting you, there's never been that. It's just whoever it is. If it's a fan, they support Arsenal, bring them on.
And that's how it should be. It should be like that in anything. If you've got a football team, you know, like Arsenal, you know, you get the best player that, you know.
Yeah, exactly that.
You get the best player, you know, best players in the best positions. I don't care where they're from.
I
just want to win.
Yeah.
I want to win the league, man. That's
we
what
know
I
about
win.
That. You're a very hardworking guy. And
I want to win the league.
We are slowly coming towards the end of the hour, but I want to quickly speak to you. Not quickly, actually. I want to make this actually a big part towards the end of that. You're a father. I think it goes, not that, does it go unnoticed? No, it does a bit. I think it does go unnoticed that you're a father and to a few children, and one of them being a great footballer, Caleb, I'm speaking about here, he always plays football, and you support his career by going to his games relentlessly. When I tell you Robbie is the most, I think people understand how busy you are, but if they don't, he is very busy. But between that, you balance driving up and down the country to take your kid to football. How is that? It's a match day experience. We're still on the same theme. I want to know, like, what is that for you? How do you take pride in watching your son play? And obviously, he's at academy right now. Do you take pride in it? Do you want him to be a footballer? Do you take the experience of you going up there? I want to know, like, the car journey up there. Do you speak to him before the game? Do you speak to him about his performance? I want to know all this because I never had that when I was playing. I'm going to be honest. My mum used to take me, but she didn't really care. She's kind of a thing of, like, go to football, do what it is. I don't want to get involved. But for you, is it any different?
No, I love it. I love taking him to football.
Yeah.
Is a lot of driving. Bloody hell. At the moment, he's with the emerging squad at Leicester.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to go to drive up to Leicester City, man. That's a brilliant training ground, man. Their training ground's unbelievable. And then his grassroots team that he plays for, they play in the Midlands Junior Premier League. So like last weekend, like remember we went out on a Friday.
Yeah.
I had to wake up first thing in the morning, man. Good drive up to Birmingham.
Jeez.
I'll tell you, he plays all over the place, man. So, and he's only 12.
Yeah, he's young.
He's under 13. You know what I mean? But he's very talented.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no pressure for me whatsoever on my son.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm like, yo, you know what? Enjoy your football. You're very talented. You've got, from a very young age, I was like, wow. I used to say to him, who showed you how to do that?
Oh, swear.
He'd do certain things. I go, especially when he's playing in games.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did you learn that? He goes, well, learn what?
Oh, he doesn't
I go, where did you learn how to put your bottom line? Because he sort of plays like a left back, left wing back.
Yeah.
Right. He can play midfield as well. He's a very defensive minded player. And I'm like, how do you... Who showed you how to get your body across? So he goes, I don't know what you're talking about.
Seriously? So not YouTube videos or anything?
No, he's just natural. So he's got a lot of natural ability, right? So I was like, wow, you know, from a young age, I was like, he's good. He's going to be good.
Yeah.
And he does really well. I love the fact that he works so hard. He trains so, you know, he's always training.
Mm.
He never bottles it out of training. I remember one day he was going up to Leicester.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely tipping it down with rain. I mean, like monsoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then on the motorway, and there was an accident.
Oh, my Lord.
And we were stuck in it for ages. And I rung up his the coach and I said, you know what? I go, we might struggle to make it today, you know, because I go, we're still stuck on the M1.
Yeah.
And he goes, Robbie, you know what? It's all right. He goes, you guys are going to be late now anyway. So if you don't get through the traffic soon,
turn back.
You can just turn back. It's no issues. You know what I mean? It happens. And I say, cool. And then we started to get through the traffic And then we got up to the next junction and I said to my son, I said, yeah, you know, I'm just going to turn around and go back. Like, it's pouring down with rain. I said, plus as well, you're about 45 minutes late now for training. And he said, no, I still want to go. And I said, you see the rain? He goes, I still want to play. And he still went, and it wasn't a game, it was just training.
I'll take my
I was like, wow, dedication, man. And I really, really enjoy watching him play football. And I really, really enjoy when you watch kids of that age, not just my son, I enjoy watching even some of the other kids, the talent.
Yeah.
And it's such a nice thing to see. Yeah. When you watch football at that level, at grassroots football, I take my hat off to people involved in it, the parents that give up their time, the coaches that give up their time. They aren't getting no money. They aren't getting paid, these people. Mm. You know, all right, the guys at Leicester and that, they are professional. Yeah. But I'm on about, like, when it's like grassroots and that, you know what I mean? It's unbelievable, man. And I enjoy, really, really enjoy watching it. And I really love taking them. And I love to take that time out and spend with him as well.
Yeah, that's what,
and to, you know, I feel that's very important. So, yeah, I love doing it. I mean, it's a lot. He has me all over the place, man. I'm telling you, all over at some early hours.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm watching games, right? And I'm getting absolutely soaked. And we're coming to that time of the year as well when the weather.
Oh, the winter period's coming.
And I'm getting absolutely soaked, man. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
and I get in the car. I go, yeah, you better make it. You know, I go,
wait. I never pressure. That's for the day.
You better make this guy. I go, all his drive. But to be honest, I don't pressure him.
Yeah, I know. I'm playing. I know
he's very
don't.
Quiet as well. He is. He's very quiet, right?
Yeah.
So like, even when I go to games, I just say to him, "Yeah, today, win your battles. Just do your best. Mm. Win your battles." And
yeah,
and that's about all I say. I don't really go on about it, you know. Make sure you do this.
That's what the coaches, and that's what the coaches do.
Yeah, because if you're too much on them, you know, it's not good. I remember when my son, the first team that ever spotted him when he was about eight.
Yeah.
He's playing in a little tournament, got spotted by Arsenal. I remember he's playing at a tournament, Arsenal and Watford both spotted him.
Yeah.
And they were both like, yeah, we want him to come down and train with us.
Yeah, yeah.
I said to the Watford guy, okay, yeah, cheers, mate. Right? So he was like what they call a development squad.
Yeah.
And he was there. He did really well. He got right. You know, they start off with quite a lot of kids.
Hmm.
And then they kind of, you know, it's like yeah, they drop you off.
Yeah, yeah,
and he got right down to the end. He didn't quite make it. And then he left from there. And then he actually then got recommended from there to MK Dons.
Right.
And then he was at MK Dons for 3 seasons.
Hmm.
But when he was at Arsenal, they never used to let the parents watch the players train. So you've been to London Cohen area, right?
Yeah,
you know that big dome they got there?
Yep.
So the kids would go in there and they'd be training,
mm-hmm.
and all the parents would just have to go in a room and sit down.
Blimey.
And just sit down in there for 2 hours.
With all the other parents?
Yeah, and you'd drink about 10 cups of coffee and that. And, you know. So one day I said to the coach, man, because I said to my guy, yo, why can we never watch?
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, no, you know what it is, Robbie? It's not because we don't want you in particular to see your kids playing.
Mm.
He goes, but what we find is that, he goes, we don't want them to have like too much influence from their parents.
Yeah.
We're the coaches. We want to coach them.
Mm.
So he said that what happens is when they find that when they have parents in there, even when the parents not saying things, because you're not really allowed to talk to them and that, but he said, even that, he goes, they'll see a lot of kids constantly looking around at their parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they said as well that some parents won't say nothing to them inside the dome because they're not really allowed to talk. It's, you know, they have to. But when they're on the way home now, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Because they're so desperate for their kid to make it at Arsenal or to make it at whatever big club it is.
Mm.
It's almost like they're more desperate than the kid.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that way the kids are not learning anything. I said to him, you're actually right.
Of course they're right. Because
even I've been at games and I've seen like there's parents, they're coaching, almost like they're coaching their kids.
Yeah.
And I never forget, right, there was a game a couple of months ago I went to.
Mm.
And this parent kept saying to the kid, so why you could stay back? He was like, he's playing in defense. He goes, stay back. Stay back.
Yeah.
Right. And then he kept moaning at his kid, right? Because They kept playing the ball out from the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, get rid of it. What are you doing? And he was going on all game, yeah? When the game finished, the coach came over to him and said, listen, no disrespect, yeah, but he goes, we're the coach.
Yeah.
And we don't really want you telling him what to do. Yeah. I told your son to play out from the back. I don't want him hoofing it down.
Yeah.
Doesn't care if we concede a goal. I want them to learn how to play out from the back under pressure.
Mm.
If the goal goes in, I don't care.
Mm.
Right? And he goes, plus I told him to constantly get forward as well because I want to see him overlapping. So that's a perfect example that, you know, but you'll have parents there sometimes there. So the kids are caught in two minds. They don't know what to do with it. And I always say to my kid, I go, yo, do what the coach tells you.
Yeah, play your game.
The coach tells you to get forward all the time, get forward all the time. If he tells you to stay back, if he says play out from the back, play out from the back. If he says go long, go long, because he's in charge.
Yeah, they have a style of play and that's what you've got to follow.
And that's why a lot of time with a lot of these, you know, the parents can be, you can't put undue pressure on a kid. You don't know who's going to make it. You see a kid at 8, to 13, 14, he's absolutely unbelievable. When he turns 15, he's not hacking it no more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see another kid that, you know, is not the best at this age, he might be the one that goes on to make it.
Mm.
You know, I was chatting to a scout at Arsenal. He told me that, you know, Emile Smith Rowe got released from Chelsea's development squad.
Yeah.
You know, but then Arsenal took him and look where he is now.
Mm.
You know, so you don't know. You know I mean, you can't put that pressure. Let the kid play. Let them enjoy themselves. Yeah. Let the coaches do their job with the players. And if they're good enough, they might make it. Might.
Yeah. I want everyone to listen to that and just take that as a good insight, because I never had a parent that spoke on their experience of watching me when I was playing pro. But I know about parents saying that their greatest feeling is taking their kids to play football. And if they do something good, they look over and that smile, that feeling, I get that. That must be an amazing feeling. But when it comes to a professional game, like you said there, you have to let them play. A lot of players fail because of their parents.
And what I would say to parents as well is, you know, the sort of story that you told there, support them as well.
Yeah.
If you can, it's very difficult because, you know, there's some parents that, you know, because of their jobs and that, they can't get to, even me, a lot of times I can't get to games. And even if I can't get to a game, one of the other parents who might take my son, I'll say to him all the time, let me know how he got on, tell me how he did, and he does. And I do the same with his son if he can't make it. And they really, really do appreciate the support. So if you take your kid and you're taking them to games, and they love that.
Mm.
They may not say it to you now, but later on, they're really going to really appreciate that.
Mm.
You know, don't just take them to the game and just, you know, open the door and say, all right, go, play, and just sit in the car and walk. Go out there as well. Stand up. You know, I know it's cold sometimes.
But be there.
Stand up, watch, see how they, because kids really appreciate that.
Mm. Do you, this is kind of, this is the last question on this. Do you have any fear or doubts of, like, if Caleb makes it to, I don't know, say the Premier League or the top level, The him dealing with, I guess, the pressure of being a top player, the fans, all the fandom, or would you think, or do you ever think about that? Do you ever worry about that? Or do you think, you know what,
I think,
be fine. Will you be at the games as well in the stands?
I think I'd always worry about the racist part of it. You know what I mean? When I see like what Saka as a 18, 19 year old has had to go through, disgusting racist abuse.
Mm.
You know, you think to yourself, would I really want my son to be going through them things as well? Right. And the reality of it is that if he did make it as a footballer, he probably would have to go through that.
Yeah.
And we've got to educate them on how to get through that, but we shouldn't have to be doing that in this day and age. And I still, you know, I still get really, really fed up of discussing these issues.
Yeah.
I know it's Black History Month and we have to talk about these things. That in this day and age, we're still discussing a black player
being racially
abused on social media or on the pitch.
Yeah.
When, you know, when are the authorities, FIFA, UEFA, when are they going to do something about it? I mean, serious. We were watching the game the other day, Hungary.
Oh, yeah.
How many more stadium bans are you going to give them and fines?
Exactly.
You know, can you not see? It don't work.
Yeah, only one was arrested, by the way.
only
hold on. One when there was loads.
The Hungarians, right? Don't work, does it?
Yeah, no, not at all.
They do it again and again. It's always the same people. It's always the same teams. when you look in this country, it's always the same teams. It's always the same countries, you know, not always, but a lot of times it's the same ones. They do it time, they get a fine, back again, next minute it's them. There's an easy way to deal with it. Easy.
Yeah, just...
out the competition. Mm-hmm. You no longer play.
Mm-hmm.
Watch how quick they turn around when those countries get hit in the pocket.
Yep.
They will make sure that those type of people don't come back 100%. And watch it. But the UEFA and FIFA and even the Premier League, and they don't really care.
Yeah,
that's how I view it.
No, I agree.
Because if you care about something, if
it was the Super League, let's look how fast that went down.
Look how quick with the Super League. Yeah, they were saying to players, you're going to be banned from playing for your country, and it weren't even the players who were doing the Super League.
Right, and look how
I mean, and that was the sort of sanctions they were putting on them.
Right,
what kind of thing is it? You know, if you go around the corner to Tesco's, yeah,
mm.
and you go into that shop. And you racially abuse someone, they ban you from the shop.
Yep.
Never to come back there again. No matter how much money you got.
Mm.
You're not welcome because you know what? It's our shop.
Yep.
And in our shop, our policy is no racism
mm-hmm.
and no abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're banned. So why is it FIFA, UEFA, it's their competition.
Mm-hmm.
The Champions League is their competition.
Mm.
The FIFA World Cup is called.
Yep.
So all they got to do is say, you know what, you're a repeat offender, you're banned. Man. You're not welcome. You know the rules of our competition. You know that, you know, it's all about equality. If you can't adhere to that, go away, sort yourself out.
Mm.
When you've sorted yourself out, we will consider letting you back in the competition. Yeah. That's all they got to do.
Exactly.
And they will clamp down on this thing
instantly.
Quickly.
Yeah, instantly. Yeah, exactly. That.
And they don't do nothing. It's left to players to be taking knees and
walking
this and
off the
that.
Pitch and all walking, that. Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? it's
players. It shouldn't be on the players.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be on the stewards at the ground. It should be on the authorities to have
and the governing bodies. Yeah,
proper sanctions for these things. Mm. And then maybe if they did that, maybe in the next 5-10 years, we won't be talking about it.
Right, exactly that. And
why is it always football?
I don't know.
No racially abusing no one at Wimbledon.
Or tennis, yeah. Or Formula One.
Why is it in football? Why do we allow this? I don't even see it in American sports.
It's true.
American sports where, you know, we know in some parts of America there's been a history of racism.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even see it there.
Yeah.
Right? Why is it always football?
Mm.
Why?
Mm.
When they're going to do something about it?
I don't know. That's a great question. You're right. And I think
it's mad.
All
telling
other
you.
Sports. I know in boxing
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
Boxing back in the day, there was a lot of racism. But even that's been like, that's gone now as well, really. Back
yeah,
in the day.
You're out.
It?
You're
yeah.
gone.
It's been exactly.
You're gone. It's simple. You're not welcome.
Yeah. It's interesting. That's a great question.
That's what your views are. You're not welcome here. Our competition is about being inclusive.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're not, you don't want to adhere to those rules. So out. And they can do it because as, like you just said, with the Super League thing, look how quick they came down, man, when they were, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what the difference with that was? They cared about that.
Right.
To me, the authorities, they don't really care about it. It's a problem.
But
it's a problem, but it's not something they care about. Because
yeah.
when you care about a problem, you do something about it.
Mm, mm. It's not affecting yeah? their pockets. That's what
the
that's
government
why.
Care about COVID right now in this country.
Mm.
We're rushing out trying to find vaccines. That's what you do when you care about something.
Mm.
Right? So when you care about something, you're on it. You will try to do your best to deal with it. I don't think, my personal opinion, I don't think the authorities really, deep down, it's like, oh, what happened in Hungary? Oh, yeah, fine, man.
Yeah. All right, Rob, thank you for obviously joining me for this Inside AFTV Black History Month special on your match day experience. I've done this with every show now. Before you leave, is there anything that you wanna say to the people listening, to people watching now? If I haven't asked you the questions that you kind of want to get off your chest, is there anything you just want to say to everyone? I think you did say, you said a lot at the beginning as well, but is there anything that you just wanted to let them know?
I
love this bit.
Sorry, I chat too much.
No, it's fine. It's obviously no one prepares for this. No one plans for this. Mm. I did it with Turkish, but just anything that you thought, oh, do you know what? I actually wish, because sometimes people get on these chances to talk.
I think what I'd say is like, you know, being Black History Month, you know what I mean? Let's celebrate, you know, some of the great Black people.
Yep.
You know, especially when I look on it, like here in the UK, you know, I'd say, you know, let's celebrate our parents who were pioneers that, you know, like my parents, they came to this country with nothing. Like, I mean, they were like poor.
Yeah.
Like, there was 13 in my mum's family. There was,
blimey,
it was 9 on my dad's side. They lived in a, if I was to take you and show you where they grew up, it was a shack. And they come to this country with nothing.
Yeah.
And they come to a country that they're not used to.
Yeah.
Cold, wet.
First generation. Did they come over to help rebuild the...
They came over, yeah, they came over to that sort of generation there.
To help rebuild
What
the
they call the Windrush generation, right? And I'm so proud of my parents, even though they're not here now, I'm so proud of them when I see what they did. They worked hard. My mum and dad, they bought their own house.
Mm.
They brought up, you know, 4 boys.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We've all done well, you know. And there's a lot of parents like that, you know, a lot of black parents that come to this country and have really, really, you know, done great things. So as kids as well, I want to see more sort of youngsters as well looking into our history.
Right.
When I say history, I'm not even on about going like hundreds of years back. Just last 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
Look at what your mum and dad did. Look at what your grandparents did to come here and to make your life.
Yeah.
Right? And trust me, you'll have a greater respect for them.
Yeah.
You really will. Because I think sometimes a lot of black youngsters don't.
Yeah, 100%.
They don't really look at that. They 100%. Don't really look at that. How many, I said to my daughter the other day, I said, how many youngsters now, if someone said to you, right, I want you to go abroad to, I don't know, pick a country.
Anywhere.
I want you to go abroad to, I don't know, you're going to spend the next 5 years in...
Say Brazil.
Brazil.
Yeah, let's say Brazil.
Oh, boy. Very few people want to make that effort to go there. They'd be very frightened about what the place is going to be like, what to expect. So you think about it. Our parents were coming from the West Indies, in a lot of cases at them times, to England.
Promised a lot, by the way.
Promised a lot of things. Didn't know what to expect
and didn't get what they were promised as well.
They
didn't know
what to expect. They came here, and as I said, different climate, different culture, you know, and they adapted and they built we're a product of that. So I think in Black History Month, we should always focus on that. You know, especially here in the UK, you know, big up to our parents and that, man. Yeah. I mean, they've done a good thing.
Oh, that's a great way to end it. Yeah. Big up. Check your Black History for Black History Month. Make sure you check out. Robbie, thank you very much for joining
me. Respect,
man. Thank you for watching the Inside AFTV episode, and we'll see you next time. Peace.